I will learn how to fade that down at some point. But anyway, good evening and welcome
hello,
to
good evening.
Episode 48 of the Malt Travel Podcast. 48. Oh, here we go. So it's the 10th of July. So we are, it's a Monday night. So I must admit, I've got nothing in the glass. Nicholas, no doubt, will probably have something brown. And I'm doubting Bruce has got anything in the glass.
I have to go to the Crystal Palace briefly at 9 to see some
real. All right.
I've had a cup of coffee and a sharp red bicky.
I must admit, I had a few beers on Friday night, and it's quite a while since I had a bit of a hangover on Saturday. I didn't drink too much, but I don't know. I think I started off with a six. Well, I didn't start with, against my will. Somebody bought me 6.5% beer to kind of kick the entire to kick an ex student of mine. He'd already had about 3 or 4 of those, so he was getting a bit wobbly. So anyway, apart from that, so we are. Tonight, we are taking a slight break. So the last few episodes, we've been looking at the town that named the podcast, Malton Norton. And we took 4 episodes to kind of cover pubs past and present. We will catch up again, I think, the next episode. And we said we've still got to do Old Malton. So tell it would take a while. And then I think we also
said... Old Malton won't take a while.
Old Malton won't. There are only 3 pubs, I guess. And then we'll look at some of the villages as well. Because if anybody's coming up to stay in that bit of lovely Rydale, again, there's some really good village pubs as well. So, but in between all of that, a couple of weekends ago, using our Northern Rail vouchers from Out at Paper, we managed to get together on a very warm Saturday, and we had a trip to, I'm calling it Cottonopolis and Hat Town. So we went to the delights of Manchester and Stockport. Visited some, I think for me, pretty much, or maybe bar two, new pubs for me. And we sampled some really good beers, actually. And I'm just reflecting, the vast majority were actually quite local to Manchester, you know, literally within probably a couple of miles of Manchester. There was a couple of Yorkshire beers dropped in there as well. So that is the planning that we're going to tell you a little bit about, our little soiree. I think I've got it down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pints. I think we had our 8 beers because we'd sneak up and have a couple of halves and a couple of as well. I had a couple more before at the front and end of that. We might get on to Dunkin' Donuts. Was it in Leeds railway station where you missed your
Manchester? That's why we went to the bloody train.
Delicious. It was worth it though.
We'll talk about that shortly. So we determined we're going to try and keep these podcasts down to 45 minutes. So beery highlights, as we always start with, I've kept these right down. I've put everybody on one slide for those on YouTube. So Bruce, you kicked us off. You had a little trip out, I think, at the weekend, and that's a station bar you're in there, was it?
It is, yes. Well, the Drum Miners Gala, and sadly, it was such a long day. We planned to visit the the Victoria New Behaving, the Dun Cowan, he couldn't get near, and then there's another Sam Smith's pub, it was named Terrible Scotland at the station now. The Coal Pits, it's been voted Durham Pub of the Year, and so it's one of the nicest in the estate, very close to the station, but we just didn't have time to get there because it was a hugely long day. I was up at 5:30 on Saturday and got them at 6 o'clock, so it was a long, long day. But yeah, the station there, first time I've been to the station bar at Durham, they'd only drunk it dry, but thankfully the one rail ale they'd left on was Pagan Queen from Bladen. A blonde, but a full-bodied blonde, and it was absolutely delicious. But I said, they had nearly drunk it dry.
And you were there for the Miners' Gala, Bruce, and you were there, you know, to celebrate trade unionism. And then on the way home, you went first class. you could sample some of the recently publicly republic, whatever you called it.
The last resort rail ale operation here.
Yeah. LNEER, where you're drinking Hop on Board, which I guess is their house beer, is it?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not a great with craft beers, but it's absolutely delicious. That's obviously been designed to appeal to every man, and it was absolutely delicious. Yeah, I'd say as well, in the carriage was the Bishop of Liverpool, James Jones. He was a chap who chaired the Independent Inquiry into the Hillsborough disaster. He gave the sermon at the cathedral at Durham Miners' Gala, and he was breaking his journey in York on the way back. Yeah, it's an absolutely lovely man, so he is. Lovely man indeed, and I have to say, I'm not often going to churches. His sermon was by far the best thing I've ever heard.
Was he on the Hop on Board as well, Bruce? Did he have a few beers with you?
No. But yeah, he was a lovely chap. Yes, Bishop of Liverpool, what a lovely man he was, yes.
Very good. So that was Bruce's trip up to the northeast. Now, Nicholas, you've been in the Green King pub, I see here.
Yeah.
Well, oh, you're drinking Duckers, but I'm gonna come on to Green King in a minute.
All right, okay, yeah. Not wrong with the Green King pub. Oh, I mean, at least they are still independent. Here we go.
Oh, thankfully we've lost Nick now, so we can't carry on about Green King pubs.
Well, the internet must have
took. He's frozen again. He's using next door's Wi-Fi, so he's stuck in a very strange position there for those on YouTube. So I will, while he's getting back with us, a couple of things from me. Exmoor Gold, we mentioned last week, and I went into my local Spoons. I did go into Spoons, and they had Exmoor Gold on as well in Newcastle on the Lyme, which was very nice. I mentioned to Bruce, actually, that I went into one of our local breweries, Weller's Brewery. They're just in between, actually. The owners have sold up and gone to Spain, I think, after about 9 years. Nice little place. Yeah, that's the dress shop they're in. But as I said to Bruce, when I went in there Friday night and all they had on was bloody Osset. Every pump was Osset. I think they had a tap takeover. And they had the one keg beer that wasn't Osset was bloody Brew York. So I've got to say, though, I think that's White Rat I had there. It was a very nice pint of White Rat, which is really, really good. And then just a little new one for me, our newest one in town. This used to be a gentleman's club called Lace. It was a pub. It was a quite decent pub about 20 years ago. And it's recently been opened. There's some guys have a bar and shop in Hanley called Bottlecraft. And this is their first pub. And I've got to say, it's really nice. It's stripped bare a little bit. For those on YouTube, you can see that.
I'm back.
You're back in Newcastle Lime. And again, they do a really good, they do a 20% camera discount. So really, really great going in the Crossways. I don't think you've been in there, Nick, have you? It used to be the Gentleman's Club, the strip bar in Newcastle on the corner.
Last time I was down.
Really good beers in. Really great guy behind the bar who's always in. So anyway, back to your Green King pub on the banks of the Humber.
Well, it wasn't quite on the banks of the Humber. It's on Hessel. So it's the name of all farms. They're meant to look like farm buildings, but they're not. They're identical inside, but serves a purpose. Mother and father are happy with it. So, yeah. £3.80 for a pint.
With Duckers in there.
£3.80.
£3.80.
Yeah, yeah. And that was not using any discount. In fact, the one in York, they used to take the camera. They used to offer a camera discount, but I don't think they do anymore.
Now, again, we think that obviously the Caledonian Brewery is shut now. So despite them still using that pump clip, we've mentioned some couple of podcasts back, and they announced they're closing, or they've closed the Caledonian Brewery in Edinburgh. And I think is it Belhaven Green King, isn't it? So I think they're brewing it all out of the Belhaven Brewery, which I think is a bit further north, isn't it?
It is quite amazing, though. I mean, they're getting everywhere Green King now. I mean, I noticed at Durham on Saturday, marching through Durham there, Market Tavern in the middle of Durham, a historic pub, and they put that, this generic branding they have in all the London pubs with a real shiny Victorian writing. They put that there. I mean, they really are no respecters of heritage whatsoever. It's, I think they possibly mean least.
Does Humphrey Smith allow trade unions, Bruce? No.
I don't know if he does not.
I don't think the Green King do either, do they?
No, but. Bruce anyway, seems to be knocking certain pub chains and not other ones. So
we'll come back to
him. He spent most of his days Sam Smith's pubs in Durham attending the miners' union. But yeah, Sam Smith is probably.
There ain't no miners' union left. There ain't no miners' union, haven't it? Because there's no bloody mines left.
Miners' gala, yeah. Actually, I have to say, it's a great doubt, though. Anybody who, I mean, there was 50 brass bands in attendance, sadly. Anybody who likes pubs and bands, I mean, it's a full doubt, free of charge. Get there early, get as near to the county hotel as you can. I was asked to go to help out because Dr. Scamps, that's the reason I was there. And I don't think kids aren't allowed to carry the banners anymore. It was a huge, big banner with the other couple of things. But yeah, get there, 50 brass bands, 65 banners. I mean, what's amazing is the entire town is just sealed off. No vehicles can get into the town centre because all these brass bands have to gather somewhere and other people march with them. And anybody likes that type of thing, it's an amazing day out. I would definitely... definitely go again.
Very good. And I know Nick's been away for a little way day again this weekend. So next time we'll catch up with some more beery highlights. And again, because a bit of beery news. So I'll just as we're on Green King, I was listening to the Beer Longing podcast, which is opinions and the other Beer O'Clock. Those two guys split up, but one of them has carried on and another two guys who were occasionally on the programme. And they've got Beer Longing. And they were talking this with, they did a Q&A, and they were asking about beer prejudice, you know, and thinking about, and it echoed a little bit, I guess, with some of the discussion we've had. So Martin, who's kind of the main guy, he said it was Doombar, that when, you know, if it ever goes into any pub and sees Doombar, it's put him straight off. And they did say, look, you know, it'd be interesting to see what it actually tastes like in Cornwall, because obviously most of it's brewed in Wolverhampton these days. But again, we've had a discussion. I remember when it was Sharps in Rock, and it was a great pint, but he's pretty unanimous, you know, everywhere now. And then they also said the same about Green King. They felt that Green King, again, if you see a Green King beer, IPA, Abbott, again, it's going to taste shite. But that was it. And the other one was Sky Sports outside a pub as well, which we've had that discussion, haven't we? That if you see Sky Sports behind a pub, you think it's just going to be kind of carling, which isn't always true, because that pub, I just randomly got that off the internet, but in that pub, actually, it says it's got Cascales on as well, but it has got Sky Sports banners.
So. Interesting enough, I mean, obviously, Black Sheep have closed those pubs down. A lot of people think that the ultimate aim is to make Black Sheep the new Doom Bar.
Yeah.
The brand of bar and
focus on beer. Yeah.
Apparently this all been inspired by what happened with Doombar. Yeah. But yeah, it's
really... I will say the busiest real ale pub I went in yesterday, obviously I went around the Leeds area, was the one that had about four screens showing the cricket.
Yeah.
And at least they were having people in there drinking. Yeah, they were all drinking real ale, but it was the busiest pub that I went in. So yeah. If having TV means that, especially with the stranglehold that a lot of these companies have on live sport. I mean, you guys are all right. You can afford Sky Satellite and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, me who works in the public sector, I can't. So, yeah, if I wanted to go and watch the cricket, I would have had to find a pub.
Next door's cable through the window, Nicholas, like you do with the Wi-Fi. Anyway, talking of cricket.
I must admit, I mean, you talk about that, but I mean, it costs about 65 pence a day for Sky Sports. I mean, for the Ashes alone, I mean, I've spent far too many hours sat on my backside watching. That's the thing. It's the time you waste watching it. And with so much going on this house at the minute, I'm behind on everything. You get drawn to it, thinking, I'll stay for another over. And it is great value. Think what you pay for a ticket. Yeah. I mean, it is fantastic value, really, if you're interested in sport.
So on the cricket theme, and we've talked about this before as well, for those on YouTube, Pete Brown, beer writer, was tweeting a little bit earlier about the self-serve that a lot of the festivals now are putting on. And they reckon that part of that is because you get served 30% quicker. My nephew went to Headingley, and he said at Headingley now they've got, again, for those on YouTube, they've got these Carlsberg self-serve machines where a pint, but it was £6 a pint to get to serve your own beer, which is a bit extortionate, isn't it? The whole point is should be cheaper if you're not paying for anybody to do it. So I'm not quite sure what it
was. When he was pouring it then, was it £6 irrespective of the head you got, or did it just pay for the
food? Yeah, it's just £6. And if you look on there, you can't really see it on there, but it's not any cheaper. If you buy 4 pints, it's £18. £24. No cheaper. You know,
the first time I encountered these was we were on a cruise ship. They had the first brewery at sea, so they had the pumps around the ship. But to be fair to them, you didn't pay for the head, so it was about $6 a pint, whatever it was. But actually, if you only got half a pint because you invariably put such a massive head on it because it came out so fast, they only charged you $3. And I wonder if these worked on the same concept. Yeah. That's really unfair, isn't it?
A lot of these ones have those bottom filling bottles, glass anyway, don't they? Those bottom fillers, so you don't really get much of a head. Anyway, let's move on. So as Bruce has already mentioned, further news really about Black Sheep. We've been talking about it virtually every podcast since we restarted. Obviously, they first of all said they weren't in trouble. They weren't going into admin. Then they did go into administration, and basically an American credit company bought them out, haven't they? And very, very quickly, they suddenly closed both pubs in York. Although, as Bruce rightly pointed out on the tweet that somebody put on, they'd actually put the golden ball in there, which has got nothing to do with Black Sheep or the old
ones. The naming one Within the Walls as well. I've never known a pub called Within the Walls in York.
Yeah, very bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. So very strange. And then they also announced that there are two pubs in Leeds and shut as well. And again, reading some of the kind of press, they just literally came in at 4 o'clock on a Thursday. Yeah. That's it, we're shut. And get everything out, get all your stuff and get out. So, not great. I mean, the last drop was, it was steady one in Bruce. It was a bit of a shop thing in there.
It was a fantastic location, and I say, I think if they'd have kept the merch shop in there, and I think crucially served food. I mean, it's smack bang in the Century Yard, just off the Shambles Market. Yeah. Passing trade, and you kind of think, because when the York Brewery, they did food and it was always busy, but obviously,
they're not in the they've kept open.
Yeah, the only one that's open now is the.
It's always a fun.
The last drop's the only one remaining. Not the last, the three-legged bear, sorry, yeah. The
it's, one it's a funny pub, isn't it? But I suppose it's got that big eating area around the back, that one, hasn't it? It's got that kind of conservatory around the back, but it's not a great pub, really. It's all narrow and a bit pokey, really.
It is.
Anyway, so we'll keep an eye on what's happening there. And then again, interestingly, as one shuts down, again, news this week that Cropton Brew, which again we've talked about, Nick, you did a bit on this, because we looked at they became the Great Yorkshire Brewery. Looks like they're back to Cropton again. Although when you leave the small print again, the reason probably is in that, again, I think you mentioned it, that Yorkshire Pudding were now brewed there as well. So now it's a three-way partnership. The original family, the Lees, who had the Cropton Brew initially, have now gone into a kind of a three-way partnership with Yorkshire Pudding Beer Brewery and Twisted Wheel Brew Company as well. So they're all brewing their beers at the pub, at the New Inn in Cropton. So quite nice.
The volume that Howard needed to supply to Aldi obviously couldn't do it with his own brewing kit. So that's why they moved to Cropton. And Cropton had always been ahead of the game as far as that was concerned, having their own bottling plant going back years and years and being self-contained, which once again is obviously the a lot of people now move to cans, but Lidl or Aldi, should I say, were still after the bottled version. So it worked out okay for them.
And you do wonder, because I mean, a lot of people said on Twitter actually linked to this, they never had Yorkshire pudding in casks, they only ever in bottles. And you wonder whether that's working. I know they do it in casks, but you don't see it in many pubs, do you? It's mainly you see it at the food festivals and things. And obviously, bottles is where the money is. So interesting to see that. And then again, linked with bottles, I don't know if you saw this. Morrison's are currently doing Nigerian Guinness at $7.99 for a pack of four. This is the 8% stuff.
I don't like it.
7.5% stuff as well. So again, if you want to zip, apparently it's only limited. But if you want to get down and try some of the foreign extra stout, down to Morrison's. It's not cheap.
I've had the Malaysian version of it, and it's quite taste. But you do sometimes see it in like B&M and Home Bargains as well. Yeah. The foreign extra strong one.
Yeah, so there we go. So anyway, let's go back to the plan. So as I say, we all managed to get our tokens out of local papers, which meant that for £10, you could travel unlimited on Northern trains or £17 of the weekend. So a little bit of kind of pre-planning, because obviously we're still in the middle of a fairly hectic, well, unhectic train system at the moment. So Nick, you had to go to York to start your journey. Is that right?
Yes. That's the problem with the one and only link in the whole of the north of England, it seems, is the one that connects to York to Scarborough is run exclusively by Transpennine. So it costs as much to get to York and back as it did to travel all the way to Stockport and back.
And then you had to take a slightly circuitous route, don't you? Because the northern trains don't quite go direct, because that's Transpennine. So did you go through kind of Hebden Bridge? Where did you in the end? And that kind of...
Yeah, it's going to jump off for 15 minutes.
Yeah. And I'm looking.
Yeah, it's not a bad route. That maybe a little bit longer, but it's not too bad.
Well, they reckon that's kind of an alternative rail ale line, don't they? Now, if you keep away from all the nutters on the Staley Bridge line, you can go that way, which is not a bad thing. And I'm lucky that we've got a northern train link to Stoke-on-Trent, to Piccadilly. It kind of one train every hour. It's a bit slower than the other trains, cross-country and Avanti. But again, it does mean that our price is pretty cheap, because you've got three different... The one goes to Crewe, because we've got Midlands as well. So we've got four train companies running through Stoke, which is quite good. So that was the plan. We said we're going to go to Manchester, but we'll use our ticket. So we'll also take in Stockport. Obviously, we talked a little bit about Stockport. We've talked about Robinson's in the past, and I'd heard that it's quite a good drinking scene. On reflection, we were not quite, I don't know what the word is, we were a little bit put off, I guess. I think that's the way we walked into the town. But on reflection, actually, I think it wasn't a bad place. And looking back at the photos and things, we went into kind of three or four quite decent pubs, actually, which we'll come on to. So, Where do we start? So you guys were heading to Victoria. I was getting into Piccadilly. So a little favourite of mine, it's one me and Nick found quite a few years ago now, Nick, isn't it? In the corner of the Arndale Market, there is a little micro bar. They must have been going now for about, I don't know, probably 15 years or so. And it's a little bit of a hidden gem. It never gets massively busy, but it's definitely worth digging out. It's right by the window, kind of looking towards the print works, which is on the other side of the road, isn't it, from the Arndale. So we thought it'd be a good place to meet. So I got there a little bit earlier than you guys. I got in there and got settled in, got us a little table. It was steady. I'll do the good thing. It opens at 11 on a Saturday as well, because most pubs in Manchester don't open until 12 o'clock. So as you can see, there were a few regulars by the bar, including a very, very young looking Van Nistelrooy. So it's a
just,
nice
just shame to see when these Premiership footballers retire, let themselves go, but don't they?
So there wasn't a massive choice on. There were two casks on. There was Strange Times, a Neo Cosmo Blonde, and an Ellen White Prussian. So I got there, so I got a bit earlier. So I started with a pint of Ellen White Prussian, which is very nice. Typical kind of pale ale, 3.9%. And then when you guys arrived, we moved on to the Strange Times, a brewery from Salford, and then Neo Cosmo Blonde, which again looks quite nice on the pictures there. That was a 4.1% blonde.
It was lovely. Yeah.
Quite a nice little starter. So we kind of stopped there. As you can see, we've got sat in the window. We had a little kind of chat, little kind of ideas what we were doing. We hadn't really planned anything too much. Bruce was keen to go to Mulligan's in search of England's reputedly best pint of Guinness. Nick, you'd got a couple down. You'd got
I'd done my research for all the historical camera pubs,
several of the
heritage pubs.
Yeah, I was quite keen to get us up to Track, Tap, and the other one across the road, Cloudwater, is it? There's across the road from there as well. But anyway, we decided, I think I probably pushed us a little bit, that our first trip would be a little bit up Rochdale Road, so only about 6-7 minutes walk from the Arndale. And that is to the Marble Arch Inn, which again is a classic Manchester little boozer. It's a bit in the middle of nowhere, really. It's a bit when those have been left. So everything to the kind of this side of it is all shiny glass and monstrosities, isn't it? And then on the other side, it's kind of a bit derelict, but definitely worth finding out. Marble beers are not brewed here anymore, but this is where the Marble Brewery began. They've moved it a little bit further out into a more kind of bigger industrial unit. But this is a cracking boozer. First one for me. You guys been there before?
No, I thought it was fantastic. Yeah, it's a preserved Edwardian.
Quite famous for its sloping floor, which apparently a few myths about barrels rolling down, but apparently it just follows the street. And again, as you can see from the pictures, it's absolutely fantastic inside. Got a wonderful kind of vaulted ceiling with individual tiles. Apparently, that was covered up until the kind of 1980s. It was all covered over. But a cracking bar. It was fairly quiet because we were pretty much in there not long after it had opened. We ended up trying, I think we all had their Persephone Summer Ale. And we had to school the bar staff about what that actually meant. And we then got into Greek myths. This is their summer special ale, which again, as you can see from the picture there, was pretty nice. And that cellar must be nice and cold because you can see from that pint glass, lovely glasses with kind of the old BBC weather things on, weren't they? And then I don't know, I picked this actually almost the kind of day after somebody had tweeted, Roger Protts had retweeted this picture of it in 1992. And as you can see there, it hasn't changed much, has it, in the last 20 odd years. So pretty, there's no bandits left. There were no bandits. And it's kind of one big room.
Wasn't there? And there were... The food must be good because it was packed in there. So
yeah,
be interesting to go back and see what the food's like, because the people were there for a reason, weren't they? And it is the middle of nowhere.
And then a bit of a beer on it back as well, yeah.
It's a strange pub in that it's impressive from the outside, but the architecture on the outside doesn't match anything on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's even more impressive on the inside. It's like a pub that's been turned inside out, because there's features inside the pub that you'd expect maybe to see outside. Yeah. So certainly worth finding out. Definitely unique inside.
And again, Marble beers are good. I mean, they reckon that Manchester Bitter, I've had that a few times, you know, he's a proper, almost like Boddington's used to be in the good old days, or a Hyde's or a Lee's. So, yeah. I mean, I think they pretty
much... Well, I had that, didn't I?
Is that what you had? Yeah.
You two went on the blonde and I went on the normal bitter.
And I got to say, that was on good form as well. So that was our first proper pub, which was, again, a great place and definitely worth visiting again. We then set off back into town and we went down Deansgate, and Bruce Haar was very keen, not been there before, to search out Mulligan's. So Mulligan's is a little bit kind of, you've got to go past quite a way down Deansgate. And when you go past what was it called in Manchester? Not Fenix. What was the big department store in Manchester called? Oh, I've got its name now.
Lewis's.
No. Became Debenhams. No, it wasn't Lewis's, was it? It was one of the other ones in Manchester. No,
yeah,
one of those. It'll come to me in a minute. Carry on past there, and it's around the back of there is Mulligan's. This is the first pub that had a bouncer on the door. It must be getting towards the Science Museum's down this way as well, isn't it, Nick?
Yeah.
Bridge kind of around the back there that will kind of is there. Yeah. Kendall's was Manchester's big department store. Kendall's,
that's right.
So past Kendall's. And there's Mulligan's on its corner there. And there's Nick walking towards it. So we got into there. It was pretty lively, wasn't it? Probably one of the busiest pubs we went into, certainly in Manchester, that kind of early afternoon. We found a little seat towards the back. And then just as we kind of got halfway through our pints, one of the little booths opened up. So we snuck into one of those little booths. It's a typically Irish kind of refit pub, isn't it? Lots of stuff stuck on the walls about Irish whiskies and hurling on the telly and hurleys and stuff on the walls and various bits of old wood as well. Hard to see actually how old it is because I don't think it's that old. It's just been a refit. And we tucked into their Guinness, which was it about £6 a pint? How much was it? £6 a pint or something?
I think it was more than that, to be honest, yeah. And I have to say, I'd be wanting to go here for ages. If anybody, lots of people, that Guinness guru, man, and he was talking about it. Reputedly Britain's second best pint of Guinness after the old Shillelagh in Stoke Newington. And I have to say, sad to report. And to be fair to me, it was the start of a heat wave, but it was disappointing, wasn't it? It was good Guinness, but it wasn't outstanding.
Yeah.
I've been to Kennedy's Irish Bar in Altrincham in February there, and I have to say the Guinness there was sublime. And in fact, I've just forgotten the name of the Kennedy's when I was talking to you on the phone. And I've just discovered that on a Monday to Wednesday, it's only £4 a pint at Kenny's, the Guinness, and that Guinness was insanely good. Mulligan's was good, but ultimately, I have to say, we were all disappointed because we're expecting a seminal tasting.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say it was poured. How was it poured?
They let it stand. Yeah.
I think the heat wave, it was boiling up that day.
And it was, yeah.
They had to turn the chiller up.
I'm sure. Shouldn't make much difference in a pub like that, Brooks, with their cellars.
And most people were drinking Guinness, weren't they? It wasn't like we had the first ones out of the pump. I mean, there was virtually everybody in the pub was drinking Guinness.
Yeah, I think.
So they must have choked through it.
The time before, like, my last bite of Guinness was in Wetherspoons in Carrickfergus. I think that was better, actually, and a lot cheaper. Yeah.
Well, I still think the Golden Line in Whitby is still best pint Guinness I've had for a long while. So we'll carry on that seat. So we left a little bit disappointed and now walked out into a very, very warm Manchester. So we carried on kind of towards GMEX and towards kind of Oxford Road Station. And again, a little bit perched now on its own. You can see that from one of the photos there. It's again one of Manchester's kind of, you know, dinosaur heritage pubs. The Britain's Protection, which again, in most books about Manchester pubs, you'll see. As we got there, there were already things on the wall talking about there were Heineken or flogging them off and, you know, please help and sign our petition. As you see over the door, they're established in 1811. So this is a typical classic kind of Victorian boozer. In anywhere, you know, in London, it would be Ram, wouldn't it? It'd be like one of those gin palace ones in London. I mean, we got a whole room to ourselves, didn't we, at the back there, which probably could seat about 40, and there were just the four of us in there. So, again, good array of beers. Lovely little kind of back and front bar, wasn't it? So we went in the front initially, and then we moved around the back there. You can see the picture there around the back. I had the Mancunian Hoppy Blonde in there from Brightside Brewery in Radcliffe, which, again, was okay. I can't remember what you guys had. What did you guys have in there?
Had something to do with a parrot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you had that parrot beer. Yeah. Yeah. It felt a bit sad in there. It felt like the seats were ripped. It felt like a pub on its last legs, didn't it? And for a, what, 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon,
yeah, it was...
we'd walk
past... I don't remember ripped seats.
Yeah, they were where we were sat in the back in that room.
All right.
The seats were ripped, and it just felt like it just, you know, yeah, was like it was on its last legs.
Which is a shame, because it is probably Manchester's most famous pub. This and Peveril of the Peak.
Yeah.
It's a tragic, really. It was there. Yeah.
So, worth getting in there. Again, beer was good. Good range of beers. Again, really good to see that lots of Manchester beers on as well. And then, as Bruce mentioned, from there, we kind of headed back kind of towards off of Oxford Road. And I tried to prevail this lot with the day that I used to, I did a lecture in the Whitworth Hall where Einstein had done a lecture as well. I didn't bother. So we walked past an interesting looking pub called the Rain Bar, which was a Lees bar. And I think if we had a, probably a little bit more time, we might have called in the Rain Bar.
I think the Rain Bar last time, let's say their Manchester Bitter was stunning.
Nice. We were keen to move on, so we were kind of heading towards Piccadilly at this point. And just as you get kind of up to the right, Piccadilly is, and one again, another iconic Manchester pub. I've been a couple of times before, mainly on an autumn night. I've been in here, which is very nice. Was Peveril of the Peak, Wilson's, interestingly, sign outside. Again, lovely pub with its green tiles out the front there, and inside again,
yellow.
Again, a pub that's got lots of little rooms. It was ticking over. We ended up in the wake room where there'd been a funeral, because there were all funeral flowers all over the front, which probably why nobody else was in there. I thought the toilets were interesting, a little bit of Art Deco toilets, but as you can see then from those YouTube, somebody had obviously pinched the gents sign, so it just could have felt tip pan and wrote gents on it. But there's a lovely lady sign across there. Again, kind of a bar that... There's kind of lots of different rooms as well. Again, as you can see from the tables, if you're looking on YouTube there, a little bit tatty, but, you know, again, not bad. I remember I had Millstone in there, the Tiger Rut I had. Again, I know what you guys had. The Millstone was actually there, the beer mats in Millstone. Again, that's a Mosley brewery based in Greater Manchester. So, yeah, nice little pub. It was, again, it wasn't madly busy, was it? I suppose it's quite near the station, this, so... I know, certainly I've used it in the past if I'm waiting to get a train to Piccadilly.
To be fair, it was a day when people were really looking to be sat outside, weren't they? I mean, the Sinclair's Oyster Bar, God, there was how many people outside?
Yeah, that was busy. That was. So, again, it just felt, I don't know, we were a little bit melancholy about whether these pubs were going to last a great deal longer, really. And again, I think they're both kind of wet lead. I didn't see, there wasn't much sign of food. So, and that's quite a challenge, isn't it, in a city centre type boozers these days. If you're riding on beer sales and drink sales. So I think, you know, this is on the end, the kind of Studentville, it's near the universities. So I guess, you know, in student times and terms, there's probably more people in there. It was quite a young settler in there, wasn't it? I think in that back bar. But we'll see. So we whizzed up to Piccadilly and we jumped on the next northern train going south. And it's literally only about, what, 6 minutes over the largest brick structure in the Europe, which is the lovely viaduct that takes you into Stockport Station, that high-level station. And I say, I think we'd walked in maybe not quite the most lubrious way. We walked over a very nice-looking street and the brewery there in the background that you kind of walk in on that high level. And that street, again, as Bruce mentioned there, was had a couple, two or three pubs that had people sat outside. And again, for those on YouTube, you've got the view of the brewery, Robinson's Brewery, in the back. We walked past it. Well, we walked into the Petersgate Tap, which is one that everybody says you've got to go in. And as we walked in, some bloke walked out saying you'll never get served in there. So it was pretty rammed for a Saturday. Many people drinking Prosecco, I didn't notice. With one person in the bar looking very stressed. So we made a decision let's crack on and move out of there. Interesting, I think they actually, definitely the day after, they got given the camera, Manchester Camera Pub of the Month or whatever award I saw on Twitter somewhere. So we didn't actually manage the Petersgate Tap. So we felt we need some, at this point, we need some subsidence. So what Stockport has got is a wonderful old market hall. So these guys, I made a beeline for the pork pie shop and a nice pork pie, but this lot went for a breakfast. So the Oak Tree Cafe, very neatly at the front there, and actually there's a little bar as well next to it. So we didn't actually have a beer in here, did we, I don't think? We were just having a little bit of a timeout. Again, there's
but it was 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So we did need to eat something. So breakfast butties and breakfast wraps and pork pies for myself. It was quite a little cafe there, wasn't it? and the market was just kind of packing down. And then we then decided that we'd try and do a couple of Robinson's pubs. So, Nick, I think you'd pick this one out. So the first one we headed to...
I'd got them both from the Camera Heritage Guide.
Yeah, it's kind of the shopping precinct. Pubs. Is it called the Mersey? I think it's called like Mersey Gate or something. It's not Bonnet or the Mersey something, the shopping centre.
By the loss of the Marks and Spencers. Guess the
old
lost some trade because of that.
And again, slightly out of place in what is a quite a modern development is the Swan We Two Next, which was a lovely little pub, wasn't it?
That was lovely. Yeah. As
you can see there, again, quite Art Deco. Lots of kind of, it reminded me, Nick, of the Bath Hotel in Sheffield a little bit with that similar kind of panelling, wasn't it? And similar kind of maybe a little bit of Art Deco inside. Stunning bar in that corridor bar. It was wonderful, wasn't it?
Yeah, drinking corridor with a bar.
Yeah. And then we ended up snug at the back there with the red leather. And this pub wasn't good, Nick. It was smart. It was nice. It was ticking over. Again, range of good beers. I think you guys, did you have the blonde? Did you have in there?
No, they're doing that. Some citrus.
Yeah,
slightly lighter, 3.5.
That's right.
Really refreshing because it was warm. It was warm by then.
It was, yeah, it was.
As in the temperature outside, not the beer. Yeah, there we are, Hopnik Citra.
And then again, we'd probably got another couple of pubs to do. So Nick, again, you'd identified, and I think Bruce, you knew about this, the Secret Snug in the Arden Arms, and I think Nick, you mentioned that. I think the same guy runs both these pubs. Mm. So the Arden Arms is a little bit of a walk, kind of. On the edge, really, of the kind of main shopping area. So a little bit of a walk and you go under one of the dual carriageways or something, don't you, to get to it. And again, from the outside, as you approach there, it doesn't look that still too blurious, but as you come around the corner, again, a fantastic old kind of old Arden Arms sign. And inside, again, a really interesting building, black and white tiled floor, a central servery bar, a bit like, you know, typical old thing. And then as you look through there, the glimpse into the inner snug. Again, interesting here. You can see, if you're on YouTube, the pumps are quite different, aren't they? They're kind of those little smaller pumps at the back of the bar, but not on the front of the bar. The front of the bar's got them just keg lines. And the cask beers are actually towards the back of the bar with fairly short handle little pulls, which is interesting. So we did ask. It looked like there was a couple of tables in the rear snug. And so, again, we, having purchased our beers, we walked through the bar, past the busy bar staff, and into the little back snug, which was quite nice. It was quite busy, wasn't it? Again, a lot of people kind of outside. You can see the pictures there. And this is the view from the other side of the bar, from where we took that first picture, where we are. It was good. And the beer was all right in there. I think I was on the Unicorn in there, which is their best bitter, which was very, very nice. So we spent a night, again, and probably about 20 minutes in there, and then headed back towards town. It was now probably getting on for about 5:30, wasn't it? And yeah. So we thought we'd better take off a Sam Smith's pub. So back in the middle of kind of, I guess, what is the kind of market square in Stockport is the Boar's Head Hotel. Again, probably the busiest pub we went into in Stockport. It was pretty ram on it. Yeah. And I don't know why.
It was Armed Forces Day. Wait, it was Armed Forces Day that day, and obviously so that's more central to where stuff was going on. They had the Stockport band playing and just outside the market hall. So, yeah, it's central, very
and
central.
I didn't notice that it says tends to attract a slightly older clientele in here, which it was. And, I think after quite a few pints, we all had a pint of mild, which was quite refreshing, really, quite nice, quite like their Sam Smith.
It was the round of the day too, wasn't it?
Probably about £3 for 3 pints of mild. So that was it. So yeah, that was it really. And then we kind of wandered back to the station, and we got on our merry way. So I had quite a nice little trip back to Stoke-on-Trent. That's only about 35-40 minutes for me, and managed to stop off and just have a refreshing pint of, looks a fairly flat pint of Titanic, that in the Titanic pub, which is in the old first class rooms on the Stoke station. And Nick, Bruce and my son Finn had a slightly more circuitous route home, in that they managed to get on the train to Manchester and then missed their connection because Bruce and Finn said they had to go and get some donuts. So they missed their connection. So how long were you stuck in Manchester for? About another half an hour?
Yeah, it was all a bit mad, really. Yeah. Well, we couldn't pass the chance to get a Dunkin' Donut, and somebody's mom was taking the time choosing them. So it wasn't in vain. It wasn't in vain.
But it took you, Nick, about, what, 4 hours to get home then, did it?
Yeah, something like that.
You were back till about 11 o'clock, were you? Because I was
trying to get the last train. Yeah.
Phantom Craft Bar at 8 o'clock, having some very nice beers down there. So all in all, a good little trip, really. And I say it was really nice to take off some of those iconic bars. Choice of the day, gents, where would you definitely go back to?
The Marble Arch, I thought it was a fantastic pub. It was just fantastic. Biggest disappointment of the day was the Guinness in Mulligan's. I thought it was going to be a school, but it wasn't. But Marble Arch was just a fantastic pub. Pubs are great in Stockport, and you have to say that just beacons of optimism in a town that's just been absolutely ravaged, really, by the sort of decline of the high street, hasn't it? Sometimes see it.
I think there was more to explore in Stockport, to be honest with you.
I think we should have gone down that lane towards a brewery.
Just done the day there, really.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we missed quite a few of their good pubs, and we didn't go to any of the micro bars which are there. And I say that street where you look up to the brewery looked really, really great. And even from where we were in the market hall, there's a big kind of beer hall across the road there that had street food and bars all the way down the side of it. And it was pretty busy. It was hard to say. And Nick said it was kind of Armed Forces Day, so whether that's normally that busy, it wasn't rammed, was it? I mean, we got served in all the pubs fairly quickly. I think for me, Marble Arch was great. It was probably we were slightly blessed, and that was our first real pub of the day. Ardnow was quite nice, I think.
It was.
Busy there, wasn't it, as well? Going there, Nick, yourself, choice of the pubs?
Yeah, probably the same. I mean, I was surprised, actually, that the pubs weren't busier. But once again, I think it's this city lifestyle that nobody goes out during the day. You know, if people are going to go out drinking in Manchester, it tends to, the city doesn't even come alive until sort of mid-afternoon, and then it's evening.
It was too nice a day, though. I mean, it was boiling hot to be sat inside the back of pubs, really. It was, you know, you couldn't understand why people weren't out, really. If you were paying £6-7 a pint, you want to be outside, don't you?
Yeah. And again, I think Arthur was good. There wasn't much Doombar. There wasn't much Aberdeen. It was all mainly local, kind of northwest Manchester-based.
Yeah, but that's the pubs that we go to. That's the pubs that we'd already done our research on, wasn't it? If we're going to the pubs where all the people were, then there would have been just those on the bar.
Doombar in some of the kind of better pubs, don't you? To be honest. But anyway, a good day out. So yeah, that was our little trip to Connopolis and Hat Town. So next time, next podcast, a couple weeks' time, I say we'll pick up and hopefully finish off and kill off Malton once and for all. So we'll talk a little bit about the pubs in Old Malton. Again, Nick's got a particularly regular up there that we mentioned quite a lot. And then we'll pick out some of the village pubs as well, which are worth, obviously a bit harder these days when you have to drive. And again, don't think about any buses going to the villages in North Yorkshire, because it doesn't happen. If it does, it's once a week, if that happens still. But yeah, that's what we'll pick up next time. So now we are, well, possibly some of us might be having a beer in Stockton.
Oh, yes, Saturday night, yes. A couple of good beer gardens.
There's the Sun Inn, which apparently does bank pints of Bass. So I'm certainly going to try and call in there and get a banked pint of Bass. And then I've looked, there's a couple of nice micros, and there's quite a nice Wetherspoons. In fact, there's two Wetherspoons in Stockton. So we might have something to report back there.
You'll have to try a Parma. You're in the heart of Parma country there. Yeah, I don't eat cheese, so I can't have one, but you can have a Parma.
Maybe after we come out. I'm sure they'll do a non-cheese version as well. So that's the plan next time. So, gents, we might meet up at the weekend. If not, happy drinking.
Excellent.
Catch you all soon.
Wow.